Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. A number of Cincinnati neighborhoods are seeing a resurgence in investment and interest from new residents. But that can sometimes mean long-term residents of communities like Walnut Hills find it hard to stay as rents increase and spaces become scarce. The situation calls up larger questions about development, as some Cincinnati neighborhoods continue to see strong surges in real estate interest and demand for housing. Let's talk about it now. Joining Cincinnati Edition are Theron Lewis, a Walnut Hills resident looking for new housing because her building will soon see renovation and higher rents. Theron, thank you for being with us. Do we have Theron on the line? We also have with us Greater Cincinnati Local Initiative Support Corporation, or LISC, Executive Director Kristen Baker. Kristen, are you with us?
I am. Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure to have you. And also joining us is Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation Executive Director Samantha Reeves. Samantha, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
All right, let's just check back to see if Theron Lewis from Walnut Hills is with us.
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. I think I'd like to start with you so that we can get a better understanding of your story and your personal situation. You were profiled in a report earlier this month here at WVXU by our reporters, Jolene Almendarez and Nick Swartzel, who's also an assistant producer here on this program. Just give us an overview, Theron, if you will, about how long you've lived where you live and what the situation is for you now.
Currently, I have lived in this building for the past 3 years. Our building was sold and is going to be renovated. And so the new owner has asked us to vacate the building. So we are all looking for affordable housing. These apartments are two bedrooms, and the target rent for these will be between $1,000 and $1,100. We are currently paying $650. So personally, I am looking for a new place to live.
So with the rent nearly doubling in your unit post-renovation, is that out of your price range?
It is out of my price range, yes.
So, Theron, you're currently paying $650 a month for a two-bedroom unit. Are you having difficulty finding something comparable in that price range wherever you're looking?
Comparable between $650 and I would say $750, yes. It is daunting.
Well, can you talk a little bit about that journey, how you're navigating this?
Most of it I am doing online. I have only saw maybe three buildings, but they are all out of my price range. I am ineligible for subsidized housing because I work full time. And as a senior citizen, I'm not able to get that kind of benefit.
When do you have to move?
I will say that we formed a coalition, myself and the rest of the residents. And initially it was January 31st, but we were able to negotiate with the new owner and we are extended until March 15th. However, for those of us that are still in the building, we still have to, of course, pay rent, which is a problem because for new residents, you need a security deposit, plus you also need the first month's rent along with all the other costs of the paperwork that go when you are renting a new place or leasing a new residence.
Theron,
money.
I understand that you've lived in Walnut Hills off and on for a long time. What are you seeing happen in the neighborhood? I think through a lot of people's eyes, it might be viewed as progress. Do you see it as such?
I see it both ways. I see it as progress, but I also see it as eliminating some of the people who have made their homes here for years be pushed out because of some of the new developments, and they are priced out of their homes. I have seen the neighborhood Walnut Hills change greatly. As I said, it's a two-edged sword. In many cases, it's very good. It's good to see the progress, but it's sad to see people who have to leave because they can't afford to stay here any longer with the new development that is coming in.
Where do you think you'll have to end up when you find a new home that you can afford reasonably?
Well, it won't be Walnut Hills, that's for sure. I shouldn't say that. It could be, but it's not looking like that now. I would say possibly Avondale, and that's questionable. Maybe Norwood. Maybe.
Can you talk a little bit about your personal feelings? I mean, if this is a neighborhood that's important to you and the progress that it's seeing, as many people view it, is costing you your home there. So is this a neighborhood you would rather stay in? I imagine you want to stay in your unit, but would you rather stay in that neighborhood? Can you talk about your feelings with possibly having to leave it?
I would rather stay in Walnut Hills. I have always loved living here. I lived in Walnut here years ago, and I loved it then. It saddens me that I am probably going to have to move out of Walnut Hills. I have very good memories here. I'm comfortable here. It is very convenient for me to go any place I wanted to go. It's a walkable community. I really like that. It was close to my place of employment. I could walk to work if I wanted to. I have friends and neighbors here that I enjoy interacting with, or I did before COVID. So I'm sad. I'm really sad because I was really, really comfortable here. Personally, this was a healing move for me when I moved back here. I came back here as a widow, and this was comfortable for me. And I was familiar with the area. So basically, that's really all I can say. I hate to leave. I don't want to leave, but it is what it is.
That's Theron Lewis, who's joining us live via Zoom. She lives in Walnut Hills, but is looking for new housing because her building, where she lives currently in an apartment, is set to be renovated. And on the other side of that, the rent for her unit will have almost doubled. We reached out to the new ownership at this building, known as Walnut Hills Property Holdings. We heard back from a man who identified himself as Jay. And when asked about some residents disputing that their units are in bad shape and they say that they're happy with the condition of the building, Jay told us, quote, "Some of the units themselves may not appear to be in bad shape since the plumbing issues occur behind the walls, which tenants can't see. Each time there is a plumbing maintenance call, it is an urgent request, and we have to spend hundreds of dollars to address these right away. Similarly, the exterior repair needed does not impact the interior of the units until the Band-Aid repairs fail and water starts penetrating the interior of the units. Our approach is to stop wasting time and money on Band-Aid repairs and make upgrades to this distressed 1950s building, which will prevent future maintenance issues." We did invite a representative from the new ownership to be on the program, and they declined. We'll also note that they spelled out some of the, I guess, compromises that were made with residents like Theron, who lives in this building, acknowledging and understanding the difficulties faced by some of the residents. And they said for all tenants who have been asked to vacate, their leases are either month to month or inactive. And they note that landlords have the right not to renew the lease after the lease has elapsed, and they are willing to work with tenants to agree upon a reasonable move-out date between January 31 and early March. They say, quote, "We do not intend to file for any evictions, and evictions would truly be the last resort." We're also joined today by Greater Cincinnati Local Initiative Support Corporation Executive Director Kristen Baker and Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation Executive Director Samantha Reeves. Samantha, let's turn to you now because your community development organization is you know, a champion and a proponent of changing Walnut Hills for the better. So we're seeing a property that's set to be improved by its owners, but you're also hearing a pretty heartbreaking story from a longtime resident. Can you talk about the feelings within your organization and looking at that double-edged sword, I think Theron called it?
Yeah, I would say, you know, of course, we're a nonprofit community development corporation working to enhance the quality of life for Walnut Hills, but our vision includes that Walnut Hills is vibrant, safe, healthy, and inclusive for all. We think a quality place should be accessible to everyone. So obviously it's heartbreaking to hear these stories, but when you look at our work, you know, Catherine Gardette, the president of the Walnut Hills Area Council, says this at many a community meeting, that when you drive into the neighborhood, the signage says that we are a diverse neighborhood since 1800. And that includes a diversity of housing stock. We reinforce that priority with the Neighborhood Reinvestment Plan, which prioritizes creating a variety of housing options while also committing to the goal of maintaining 30% of units as affordable to residents at 60% or below AMI. So we want to bring on new housing and new amenities, but we want that to be available for legacy residents and new residents alike. So our goal is really to just use the tools available to us as a neighborhood CDC, as a neighborhood community development corporation, to intervene where we can and support diversity of housing and affordable housing wherever possible.
Samantha, where can you intervene?
Yeah, it's a great question. In some cases, we can uplift the voices of residents like Theron. One great case of that is at the Alms. We were able to uplift the residents there and work with partners to preserve the affordable housing there. We can work with other partners and developers to bring new affordable housing to the neighborhood, like Cincinnati Scholar House, which is affordable housing for new parents enrolled in full-time education, or the Mance, which is for, affordable senior housing. And we can also work to bring our own projects, affordable housing projects, to the neighborhood, like a project we're working on at Lincoln and Gilbert with another developer.
We're also joined by Greater Cincinnati Local Initiative Support Corporation, or LISC, Executive Director Kristen Baker. Kristen, I understand your organization is part of a local group effort to try to bring more affordable housing units. We've done many programs on this show about the need for more affordable housing across the Cincinnati metro area. When you hear a story like Theron Lewis, how do you incorporate that into your efforts?
You know, Michael, Theron's story is, you know, touches me personally because I think it really exemplifies exactly what we're working to try to rectify in the housing market here in Cincinnati. This is a story of somebody who is working full time, who is doing her part to contribute to the neighborhood as a good neighbor, who helped organize the other neighbors in this building, right, to come together and say, we need help. We need to figure out where we can go. We don't want to leave this place. And I think that's really important to ground our work in, that we often in the housing space, we talk about this in concept of the number of units created and the price per unit. And, you know, this story is really about this naturally occurring affordable housing, that the rent that was being charged in this neighborhood at this building was appropriate for the market in the neighborhood and was not subsidized. This isn't being subsidized by any of the tools that affordable housing developers typically use to help cover the gap of the cost of owning and running and managing the building versus how much they can charge in rent, right? So this is a really important place that we're trying to focus some efforts and energy, and it's going to require the city behaving differently. It's going to require some different policy changes, and it requires us working with landlords and understanding the condition of the buildings and how that can be supported and financed in a way that might help them be able to maintain a rent that is comfortable and appropriate for the folks that are living there now. So it's a really important and complicated issue, and this really exemplifies why we have to make some different pathways forward.
Your organization, LISC, is among several that have committed to seeing 2,000 affordable housing units every year in Cincinnati and Hamilton County for the next 10 years. It's a pretty ambitious goal. Can you tell us what that looks like? Like, where are you in that now?
Yeah. That's a great question. And it is an ambitious goal, and it actually needs to be double what that number is, to be perfectly honest with everyone listening today, based on what data is telling us about residents like Theron and others who are being forced to pay more than what is appropriate for their household income on their household rent and utilities and all the expenses involved in maintaining your residence. And that creates a financial challenge if there's crisis or hours of work are reduced or all the different things that we know can happen. So, you know, we are really trying to identify where there are opportunities for more affordable housing to be created. We are working outside of the city of Cincinnati with some of the smaller jurisdictions, the first ring suburbs in Hamilton County, helping them develop a housing plan for each of their places that makes sense for the folks that are living there now and folks that want to move into the community. How do we create more opportunity for renting and home ownership that's appropriate for folks' income? And that's the work that is really important to Living Foundation. We have to have buy-in from government, from local government, who can help implement policies and use their resources and the subsidies that can be provided for development to go towards affordability. So not just affordable housing when we talk about affordable housing that's subsidized by the federal government, but how are the local jurisdictions supporting affordability for income ranges all the way from the very lowest area median income all the way up to folks that are working full time, but their jobs don't pay enough to keep up with the cost of housing.
513-419-7100 is the number to call to join our conversation. We'll take a phone call now. We have Barbara on the line. Hi, Barbara. What's your question or comment?
Hi. I commend the person from LISC. It's an ambitious thing. We have 40,000 units needed for low-income housing. I live in Northside, and I want to say I think the process here is interesting. The city is quite complicit in the tax abatements that they give away. We are on steroids with this right now. And we start to get engaged in these community benefit agreements, where the council, the business association, now nonprofit development groups like the one you just had on, are involved in the decision-making, yet there's no actual buy-in from neighbors. So in our neighborhood, over the last 10 years, we've seen increased vacancies, vacant buildings filled, market rates of housing going up, African-Americans moving out, and low-income people sort of still here in some places. So it does change a neighborhood. All you have to do is look at those stats. I mean, I raised my son here. He can't afford to pay rent, regular rent. People that work in our neighborhood don't make enough of a wage. They can't live here. They go live on the west side now. So the city needs to stop handing out tax abatements like they're candy. And these developers, you know, that would maybe slow it down a little bit, because they're eating it up. I mean, I don't like running into neighbors who are moved here from some other city, and they're doctors, and they're getting a 10-year tax abatement, where I've got some other vulnerable neighbor down the street who maybe can't, you know, fix their house up, and they're going to have to get out. So yeah. The city has to get hip to this. This is nonsense. And now the neighborhoods are becoming complicit, because the decision-making is coming down to a group of people who do not have the interests of poor people and vulnerable people in the neighborhood in mind. Thank you.
Barbara, thank you so much for listening, and thank you for the call. We'll turn to Kristen Baker, Let's go to Samantha Reeves, who is the Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation Executive Director. Samantha, Barbara had some words about organizations like yours, and I thought I'd give you the opportunity to respond.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, every CDC in Cincinnati is different. We work very hard in Walnut Hills to have a collaborative relationship with the Walnut Hills Area Council, the Walnut Hills Business Group, and with our residents directly. You know, I'm new to the role, but I really prioritize communication and transparency. We're at every community meeting we can, and I really do believe that we work to prioritize the needs of and voices and priorities of our residents.
We've been talking also today with Theron Lewis, a resident of Walnut Hills. She's 76 years old and has lived in Walnut Hills off and on for many years, but her apartment is being renovated, and on the other side of that renovation, the rent will have doubled, so she's looking for a new home. Vanessa, you were able to join other residents and the Greater Cincinnati Homeless Coalition to, I guess, delay the inevitable. Can you talk about that experience with coming together with people, and if you think it's something that needs to happen again for another cause that might better support people like you in the neighborhood?
Are you talking to me?
I am.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
The process was just a matter of here was 10 apartments, 10 families. Suddenly, 5 days before Christmas, notified that by January 31st, you're going to need to move. And a friend of mine here in Walnut Hills gave me a name and number to call, and it happened to be the Homeless Coalition. And she asked me if I could talk to my neighbors, which I did. And they were delighted to, one, have some help on decision making on what we could do to delay having to move. So that was pretty much the organizing, was just talking to each of my neighbors, understanding what the situation was, and also understanding that, yes, the complexion of the neighborhood is changing, but there are still people that want to remain here. What can we do, and who can we seek as mentors or as people who support us, so that we don't have to leave Walnut Hills? Most of us that are here want to stay here because the neighborhood, not only is it walkable, but because we enjoy the entertainment that is in Walnut Hills, which is a part of that two-edged sword. There's entertainment here, there's restaurants, there's all kinds of things to do. And we are fighting to be able to remain in this community, even if it's not in this building.
You talked about you've been doing a search for a new unit, and you've been doing most of it online. Do you have anyone helping you with that, or do you even need anyone to help you with that? Is this something that you feel like you can do on your own despite the challenge?
I'm doing it. I'm doing it because I have to do it. So I just look at all the listings. You know, some of the things that are listed online are scams. And there's that. There's some companies out there, and it's just a scam. Then you see what they're advertising, and you just don't want to live there. You know. So it's just me. I'm doing this. I have filled out papers for the new senior residents here in Walnut Hills, but I haven't heard back. And I realized because they're still in the process of construction. So I understand that.
So you might need to, if you're able to get accepted into that, you might need like some gap housing, basically, to keep you safe while that's completed. Did someone else want to chime?
Let me just add this.
Sure, yes.
The thing about that is moving out of here to move someplace else
Right.
I am currently packing everything that I'm not using, so that when I move, I only have to move one more time. So it's a waiting game.
Did I hear someone try to speak up? Either Kristen or Samantha? Okay, if not, yeah. Let me turn now to Kristen. We've only got about a minute left. We're talking about a lack of affordable housing pretty frequently, but we now have this situation where we're joined by a guest who needs to leave their unit and is having a hard time finding a new one. Are there services, resources available to assist in the meantime?
You know, it's an area that we need to strengthen. And a lot of the organizations that do provide rapid rehousing or help try to get folks who are being put out into housing that meets their needs, they're overwhelmed right now because of COVID-related evictions and other challenges, right, that we're just experiencing that are often hidden to those of us who have safe and secure housing in a neighborhood where we don't have neighbors that don't look like us, right? And so we don't understand always how difficult and daunting it is to try to find housing that meets your needs, and that someone like Theron deserves to live in a neighborhood that is walkable, that has the amenities she's comfortable with, and neighbors and and familiar faces that make our communities great. And so we have to do better at this. You know, Council on Aging is an example for, you know, for seniors that might be able to provide some assistance and support, but it's something we need to build out much more rapidly because we're just responding to crisis after crisis, and we're not preventing these changes from happening in ways that can really make a big difference in the lives of folks who are impacted.
Kristen Baker is the executive director of the Greater Cincinnati Local Initiative Support Corporation. Samantha Reeves is the executive director of the Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation. And Theron Lewis is a resident of Walnut Hills, currently looking for a new home. Theron, thank you so much for taking the time to share this story with us. And we wish you all the best out there as you find your new home. We hope you'll follow up with us.
I will do that. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. And Kristen and Samantha, thanks to you as well.
Thank you, Michael.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. This theme music was composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.